I'm Ted Baker, and this is the Hobart Lacrosse Podcast, Episode 93, quick turnaround for Game 5 at Robert Morris, Joe Walton Stadium, Saturday, 2 o'clock. That game will be on WEOS. We're back with the head coach of the Statesman, Greg Raymond. Welcome back.
Thanks, Ted.
So the Cornell game was kind of the Michigan game on steroids. You played so well for a good part of the game, and then what? I hate to keep asking this question, but what did you see that turned it south?
Lots of transition goals. You know, I think if we can talk strictly X's and O's, Ted, because I can't tell you exactly what our guys were thinking or what went into some of the decisions that were made in that time. But you have a great team that we gave a lot of early offensive opportunities to, and they score, you know, two or three goals. I think, yeah, three goals off the faceoff. And, you know, I think, you know, the best player in the country has his hands free early in an offense where, you know, they're most dynamic. I think with the day prep, as coaches, we did a poor job of preparing our guys for how dynamic that team was from end to end, and they exploited it. They just they ran the field from defense to offense better than we ran the field from offense to defense.
It looked like in the early going, I mean, you were right with them on the field. You looked like you belonged there. Kirst wasn't getting a whole lot of looks early on. In fact, I thought they were really struggling to get the ball to the front of the net for those first 17 minutes or so. Faiola was making some stops. Defensively, I thought you were doing some good things.
Yeah, you know, if you go back, Ted, and you watch that film, every opportunity that we have to play in an even setting, you know, I told Coach Fish, I'm like, that's some of the best defense we've played, you know, since he's been here, really. It, you know, just everything accounted for. Obviously, you know, a few opportunities from Cornell, but they're contested and they're in good spots, the majority of them. And given Jack an opportunity to kind of really set his feet and be explosive. So when we were in that, even throughout the course of the game, Ted, I know the score, it leads everybody to believe that we're playing poorly all over the field, but we just weren't. You know, I think we played poorly in two segments. We played poorly from face-off to defense and offense to defense. And then, but when we got settled scenarios and we were checked up, you know, even a couple possessions in the fourth quarter, I think we did a great job. So a big focus for us is just making sure that we can see how quickly momentum can shift, especially against the big, fast, and the strong. And like you said, the same thing happened in Michigan. If you watch that film back, our Achilles heel right now is, can we get into the whole matchup and play good, solid man-to-man defense earlier? So that's where it started to go. I think, you know, what that does is it puts a little bit more pressure on the offense, you know, when a team goes on a run like that, and we start playing a little bit differently on that end, or maybe not capitalizing on a few possessions, and the one end certainly impacts the other. But, you know, just from, if you go from the comment you just made about our defense, if you look at us offensively, you know, in balanced and poised possessions, we're doing great work. And so we're hanging on to that more than anything, you know, expressing to our guys where this game slipped away and how quickly it slipped away. And then, you know, putting that in the rear view with great modifications and adjustments to how we're going to play the next game. You know, so the emotion that we have, or the anger or the disappointment or the regret, we really got to get rid of those. We have more to do. So we're upset at the way you know, that opportunity left. You know, we probably, you know, like last year, we felt like we never had a grip on that game, and this year we felt like we did. So we are we're very anxious to continue to improve, and the next time that we play a team of that caliber, which is coming up pretty soon here, you know, we have a good dynamic of an end-to-end balance.
Cade Dino looks like a guy who recognized how few chances can be in life after missing all of last year. He gets to get back on the field this year, has a bigger offensive role, and he's just playing like a guy that values that opportunity.
Yeah, and you know, and with full transparency, he can't cover that guy. He's He's what you want in a roster. He's big, he's fast, he's strong, and he's tough, you know. So, and on top of that, he's got great hands, man. He's very skill developed, and we always knew this for him. You know, he played defense for us mostly before he went down last year, but this was the plan. Like, let's get him on the field, get him comfortable, and then make sure, you know, sooner than later, he's facing the goal more than his back is to it. So, he's progressing the exact way we knew he would. Unfortunately, it's just taken some time with a few injuries, but I mean, Cade's the type of player that puts us in a caliber with that, you know, that first midfield line where you got Cade that is, you know, any and all things, change direction on contact, speed, straight line dodging, time and room shooting. And then you've got your great contact dodger with John Jude Considine, who knows how to manipulate a matchup with his body and his strength and his skill set. And then you've got you know your dynamic speed with Petey. And so Cade not only does what he does well, he balances out that first line of the offensive front in a way that we haven't had in a while, you know. So you know, when you get that different type of dodging aspect. I mean, we went out against Cornell, and it's like, you know, they're short sticking John Jude. I mean, who would ever do that, you know? And if teams have to keep figuring that out, and then they start two pulling up, you know, and leaving Cano or Snelly or Rosie or Deli with that just gives us advantages, I think, going forward. So we're very excited about how he's playing and how that dynamic of the midfield's developing.
It was a little closer this time, but you won the battle again at the faceoff X against the best guy you've seen so far, and now the best guy you're going to see all year is coming up this weekend. But that unit just keeps – they really grind. I mean, they work hard.
Yeah, they do, you know. And I think the downfall for them – and us, that past game was the wing play, and not giving our guys or the faceoff guys a great time or great avenues to pick up the ball and execute. At least not all of the game. Sometimes they did, sometimes they didn't. But you know, a lot of that transition stuff we can't put on our faceoff guy. We have to give them the opportunity to win at all costs, and then surrounding him, we've got to make sure the field and the responsibility of transition support and physicality and all that stuff is the wing's responsibility. So a coaching mistake there, not putting more ownership in those spots. But you know, I think that if we can give these guys the time that they need and the rotation that makes the most sense, I think against anybody, they're going to be pretty tough throughout a 60-minute period.
One of the things we've noticed over the years, it seems like when you have trouble in the wings, that sometimes the wing player, rather than going after the ground ball, is kind of trying to box out the other guy, and as a result, nobody gets it. Are you supposed to just go after the ball, you know, head first, or do you box out sometimes and hope another guy gets the ball?
Well, it's a combination of the latter part of that, Ted, and then also just have like we got to put guys out there that have a great, I mean, some guys have a great nose for the ball and some don't, you know. And so, you know, with a situation like, let's say, you know, Nick Sadi, who's got an awesome ability to pick up the ball to see where it is, I mean, that's like kind of your best defensive players in football. It's like they know where the ball is and they have a great sense of that. So we have to allow them to have freedom to go get the ball whenever it's close to them, you know. But at the same time, with the faceoff guys that we have, we believe that, you know, Mike, Cole, Moose, and Griff are really good on the ground. And so we, as often as we can, we want to make it, you know, Mike Vallent versus their faceoff guy. And see if he can't win that battle because he does so often. And then on top of that, we have to have ownership of the field, making sure we're balancing the defensive end and the offensive end and giving outlets to that faceoff guy. And then also making sure that our wing doesn't pick up the ball. So it is by no way, shape, or form an easy job. You know, it's almost easier when you don't have a great face-off guy, and you can go, hey, go get the ball. You know, go run in there, figure out how to disrupt the exit and get the ball in your stick. We ask our guys to do those three things every single face-off. We want them to stop transition. We want them to make sure their matchup doesn't infiltrate, and we want them to pick the ball up. So that's why the guys that you see out there, the reason why you see them so consistently, and we're trying to add to that depth, is because they're good at those three things. And I think throughout the course of a game, if you have one guy or maybe even two in some spots that doesn't execute those three things well, that's where you see some momentum shift.
It seems to me if there's a common thread in these games that go south like this, and like the Michigan game, it's defensive breakdowns. The goals seem to just get easier and easier. They score a goal, and you say, oh, that's a good goal, we're still ahead. That's a good goal, we're still ahead. And then the goals get easier and easier, you know, and before long, I mean, with Cornell, they were just going side to side and dunking the ball inside the post. What do you see happening on the defensive end that's correctable so that doesn't happen?
Well, we have to do a better job of see the way that a team like Cornell strikes you is when the ball's in 15 stick, they're a scoring threat the entire time. So he's going to score a goal, or he's going to find someone that's open to score a goal, you know? And so how do you get into the hole, match up quickly, support 15, and also make sure everything else is checked up off ball? That's just, you know, it's a great experience to have. I'm not sure anybody else has that type of prowess when the ball's in one person's stick. And so, you know, a guy that can make set or five other players that good because, hey, it's like we don't want 15 to score. So this is a really poor job defensively we did Tuesday night. Where our ownership's on the best player in the country, and he has 6 goals and 6 assists. So one, it's a real bad job by us. And two, it's just an awesome job by him, knowing that if he has the freedom, if they got a little bit of a cushion, Ted, if they're in momentum shift and it's in their favor, he's a force, man. He's just different. And I think he's showing that with the numbers he's putting up. But, you know, if you ask your team on a day prep to say, hey, sprint into the hole, get a matchup, support 15, and also make sure your guy's not open, you know, and they have the way that he makes everybody, I'm talking poles, D-middies, face-off guys, the way he makes everybody better. He opens up space, he opens up hands. And so, you know, that's it might have looked easy, but that's just because of how good a player that dude is, you know. And you're very rare to find a guy that can, off his back foot with Nolan Firth beating the crap out of him, throw a frozen rope through your defense on the ear of his teammate. You know, that's it looks like, oh, he's wide open. It's like, yeah, but the guy with the ball wasn't, you know, we were all over him. He's still making a terrific play. So there's some of those that we did a really bad job. I'll admit that. And there's some of them where we're watching film and going, holy Moses, man, I
Yeah.
don't know if you can stop. You know, I don't know. So for us, it's got to be a team thing. It's not so much the defense and guys are open standpoint. It's like we have to know how to win those matchups on the wings so that they don't get the ball again, you know, because when they do, we're going to have to deal with this every single time, you know? So, and in that Cornell game, and for some reason in this game in particular, and that's the way we felt about CUSAs in the last couple of years. It's like, it's not so much that we're playing bad defense. It's that we're playing so friggin' much of it that players in a groove or players like that get into a groove, they're just going to make you have a long day, man.
Johnny Harding got on the field and got his first career goal. Of course, he came over from football, so he was a little behind at the start. So is he catching up, and might he have a bigger role to play going forward?
Oh yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, only a matter of time for him. He's too pure of heart and pure of mind to keep off the field, and he is, I mean, just a dynamic dodger. You can't stay with him. He's a water bug. So, we needed his mind and his hands to catch up with his body, really. And he's not all the way there yet, but he's certainly in a place where, I mean, he's watched film with Coach Brundage constantly. He is doing extra work constantly. He is just making sure that he's doing everything he needs to get back up to speed. So We're happy he's here, man. I think you're going to hear his name a lot.
Now, I know we've covered this in the past, and it's not your style to just clear the bench in the late going of a game that gets out of hand like that. But just explain your thinking about that. I mean, they cleared their bench. Of course, it's, you know, when you're way ahead, it's an easier thing to do. But did you ever consider maybe just saying, all right, let's get everybody that hasn't been on the field and give them a run out there for 7 or 8 minutes in the fourth?
Well, two things. I got this. Ted, you see the stat sheet from Cornell, right?
Yeah.
Because I knew the question was coming. You're a good friend. So first, here's what I want to comment on. CJ Kirst was either scoring or assisting on 4 out of their last 5 goals.
Yeah.
So he's still on the field.
Okay.
Their last goal was assisted by Ryan Goldstein, who's a starting attackman, and Willem Firth, who's a starting midfielder. So they didn't really sub a ton.
Okay.
You know, they subbed a lot. And the second thing is our guys got to finish that. I'm not giving them an out. You know, I have nothing in my contract or job responsibility that says I'm supposed to play people. I'm not. In that scenario, when you're losing by that much, you got to finish that game. And you have to be on the field, experience what it feels like when the last horn blows, because these are the guys that are going to project us into success after that failure. And I also, I don't want to put, you know, Bryce Johnson or these guys in scenarios of, I mean, complete and utter difficulty. You know, I mean, Cornell's run lasted for like 3 quarters. You know, it's like, you know, if I'm like, okay, Bryce Johnson, go play, you know, and which he's going to, and he's a good player for us. Or if I'm like Ethan Winterbottom going on defense, that's a tough thing to do. You know, I want Nolan Firth, Brady Camella, Jackson Galliani. I want these guys to tough it out and to figure out how to finish that game, you know, with pride, respect, with their chest out and their chin up, because in the end, it is just a game. And this, we're at a level right now where we need to focus on all the things we need to do in order to be good in May. And so in that scenario, I can't let those guys come out. And it's unfair to those guys on the field. I went to Nolan Firth with about 5 minutes left. I'm like, you want to finish this thing out, man? And he said, hell yeah. You know, let's do this. We're a proud group. So, you know, there is consideration there. I know that everybody wants everybody to play. I don't have a lack of empathy there. I do, you know, but in games where we're winning a ton, that's a lot different in games than when we're losing a ton.
Oh, well, you destroyed that question pretty well. I see, it's funny because I'm just going, oh, they cleared the bench. But then when you showed me who was still out there in the late going, I guess they only cleared part of the bench. So Robert Morris,
right,
this Saturday, there have been some wild matchups over the years. There was a stretch, I was looking at the notes, I think it was from 2011 to 2023, where something like 9 out of the 10 were 1 or 2 goal games. You had a 6 goal comeback there several years ago for an 18-17 win. So there have been some great matchups between these two teams.
Yeah, and great games on this field. You know, it's part of the reason why we wanted to keep going back. And Ted, we've talked about this matchup. I think, you know, Craig McDonald's a close friend and a Geneva guy. And I think just like us, I think they struggle to get home games in March and February. And, you know, our dome has certainly helped us out a ton with that. But I just have great respect and admiration for how tough scheduling is and how hard it is to get great games on your campus these days, unless you're in an A-10 or a Big Ten jersey or an ACC jersey. It's you know, you got to travel. And also, if we want to do this thing right and we want to be, you know, holding up some hardware at the end of the season, we've got to get road wins. We've got to go to tough places and we've got to face tough opponents in tough scenarios that gives them the upper hand before the game even starts. That's what Division I athletics is all about. Everybody wants to play at home. Everybody wants great home games. Everybody wants home crowds, the comfort of your own bed, all of that stuff. But the toughness is traveling, showing up, and playing your style despite long bus trips, hotels, different food, different routine, all of that stuff. So we know what that facilities like. We've been there before. We've had heartbreaking losses there. We've had championship wins, regular season conference championship wins at that place. So the history with this thing, it brings a different level of pride to the game. But for us, this is our first travel game. There's more to really think about here. This is the first time we've traveled overnight and played on the road as a family here. So we're spending as much time on that, no matter what the location is or the matchup is, as we are who Robert Morris actually will be on Saturday.
They're not what they were a few years ago. They went through that stretch where they were just playing speed lacrosse and scoring 18 goals a game, but they're struggling to score this year. What do you see of them on film?
Yeah, well, I think they've lost a decent amount of guys in these last 2 years. You know, I think the first time we played them, we were down there. You know, I think we looked at that roster, Ted, and they went to their conference championship game that year, and they played in the play-in game. I think that was Craig McDonald's first year. They had a very good team. They had a very senior-laden team, a couple grad seniors. I mean, I remember looking at that vividly, looking at that roster and going, God, this is all seniors. Everybody on the field is a senior. You know, they're experienced, they're tough. And we just had just lost to Cornell in a tough fashion as well. And so it was a bounce back game. And we went in there and just said, hey, you know, that was a game. If you remember, Chad Bock was great. Anthony Natales was great. We just and we won a 14-12 like barn burner. And they lost a lot of that senior leadership over these past 2 seasons. So I think that might be a reason. I don't think their style's changed. You still see them getting up and out, and they run well. They've got good sticks. They got a couple finishers on attack that are very dynamic. I mean, one guy's got as good a hands as we've seen, and so they still have that element. I just think you might see a different level of scoring just because they may have lost one or two key guys in between the lines over the past couple of years. So we know they're going to be very motivated, Ted. We know that they are going to play very hard, and it's a complete connection to who's leading them. And so we're going to go into this game preparing for it like they are the Robert Morrises of old, and we're going to have to do all the things we didn't do Tuesday night well on Saturday in order to win.
One of the things I remember with there was them, and I think it was might have been Sacred Heart back in the day. We were playing them. We talked about the way they would play and the way they would really jump on a whistle. You have to be really alert against these kind of teams when the whistle blows, because if they have a chance, they'll pick that ball up and take off before you know what's hit you.
Yeah, and they're undisciplined with it, you know, which is not a that's not a knock or to be, you know, negative. But they take chances. And so, you know, the Sacred Hearts and the Rock, like, I mean, I remember Sacred Heart. I'm like, they're shooting in the first 20 seconds of this possession. I mean, whether it's a good shot or a bad shot, just know it's coming. And if we play great defense, they're chucking the ball inside, and they may get a great playoff. So I think, you know, what you get in a fast team, so to speak, is one that is willing to drive faster, take a few chances, and test you in spots. And if you make a play, great. If you don't, we're going to get a scoring opportunity. So that's kind of how we see this thing going.
When you've had a couple of leads get away, it kind of colors the way you look at your team. But when you step back after four games, you're still among the tops in the country in scoring. You're among the tops in ground balls. You're among the tops in faceoffs. You're among the tops in man up. You've done a lot of things well in these first four games.
Yeah, I agree. And you know, I told this to the team yesterday, and I think that answers the question well. It's you know, when after Cornell, when we have a ton of support, you know, there's a lot of great people out there that love me and care about me and are reaching out, you know, throughout the course of an evening. And I think when I said I was sitting back on my couch and just kind of contemplating the message that I was going to give to the guys the next day, which film clips made the most sense, and you know, the phone's like ding 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 ding, and the best advice to kickstart this thing, and the best advice that our guys could have, is recognizing what we have, what we're capable of, and emphasizing that and moving forward with it. Because I do think we have a great group here, and I do think we have a great team. So that's all I'm focused on. the next onward day to day. And the statistics stuff, as you know, Ted, it's never driven me. I'm proud that we're in the leaders in a lot of those categories, but I'm more interested in winning today and then winning Friday and then finding a way to win four 15 quarter game or 15 minute games so that a lot of this talk about how we can do these things well translates to victory.
We're recording this on Thursday, as we usually do for Saturday games, Athletic Day of Donors. Have you heard how Hobart Lacrosse Nation represented yesterday?
Yeah, we're doing awesome, Ted. Rafe Mattingly, the chair to our HLAC, sent out this awesome email, extremely detailed with all of our contacts, and I mean, we're in a terrific place. Our goal for the day was at 75,000, and I think we're in the 60s right now. So we're just proud to be here, man. It's an awesome thing to ask all year long to ask. I just had a meeting with Coach Miller, and we're really kind of in awe of this stuff and how generous people are. I know it sounds corny, but I'm a little bit of a corny person. It's like it's every year people just respond, and I it, shame on me for wondering or hoping after a Tuesday night flop against Cornell if our ADOD is impacted, and it hasn't been. That just means these folks are loyal. They care about the men here. They care about what we're doing and are invested in making sure it continues to move forward. So I'm a lucky guy to be in it, to be in this seat. I'm proud to represent this program with all the support that we have, and I'll continue to be.
All right, Game 5, Robert Morris at Joe Walton Stadium on the hill. Bring your warm clothes because it gets windy. So just make sure that you're there for the game if you can be. If not, listen to us on WEOS. And you can get this podcast, of course, wherever you go to get your podcasts. And you can get all your athletics news, including the official Day of Donors number, which should be coming out in a few hours, at hwsathletics.com. Coach, thanks as always. A chin up. And you can't look back. You can only look forward.
You said it, buddy. Let's do it.